Dear friends in Christ Jesus, tonight we're going to be looking at the story of Zechariah, because what it is it's a story of hope. It is a story of true hope for Israel and a story of true hope for us. Many times we kind of take a look at this story and look at it as just kind of a background piece to really what the whole birth of Jesus is all about. But if we really think about it, it is just simply one step in the continuing saga of what Jesus was doing, of love of a creator. Because really, if we look at it and we understand it from this standpoint, that this story of Christmas, which for us as Christians, and really for the entire world, is not simply a story, but it is a showing of the greatest love that's out there. The love of a creator for his creation. A creation that he built to be blameless and to live with him forever, but yet fell into sin, and because of that, now lives in darkness. And that's what we have to realize, is that at the time that we see Zechariah here, Israel is still in darkness. It's been 400 years. 400 years. Since Israel had been pummeled by all of the invading forces from Babylon and all those others that came before. Families were scattered. They lived in and amongst other pagans. They lived in a time in which it seems that there was no hope. Almost. In fact, what it seemed like was that God had forgotten them. And so people kind of went on their days having to deal with the things and the struggles of life. They had forgotten the promise of God. The promise of the one who took them out of Egypt. They had forgotten it. It was just simply but a memory. But yet, in the midst of that darkness, what does our Savior do for us? What does God do for us, for Israel? He brings them hope when things seem to be hopeless. He brings them a reason to have hope. And he starts with Zechariah. And we got to understand Zechariah. Many times we don't really talk about him. He kind of seems to be in the background. We talk more about Elizabeth and what happens to Elizabeth. But if we really look at the whole thing, it all works together. Because it's the start of the work of salvation that God has done. It's all about the work of the Creator. Fulfilling a promise. A promise to bring hope to people who are struggling. People left in sin. People who are in darkness. It's all about that. First of all, we have to realize who Zechariah is. Zechariah is a holy man. He's a man who does really basically the same thing that I do every Sunday. Come into the church to proclaim and do the work of the church. He was a man that went in, and in that particular day, he was going about his churchly work just like he had always done, not thinking that anything special was going to happen. And in fact, it was that night in which it was his turn to have the duty of going into the temple and lighting up the incense so that the people could pray and realize in their ceremony that what was happening is that God was hearing their prayers. And of course, Zechariah was an older gentleman, and he was married to Elizabeth, who was of the line of Aaron, both of which were holy people set aside by God in order to simply serve the people of Israel. And so he went into the temple that night to do that which he was, and all of a sudden, an angel appeared to him. Can you imagine that? If all of a sudden you went to work and all of a sudden an angel popped up in front of you, how would you feel? That startled me a little bit. Yeah, I was walking up here and all of a sudden, oh, look, an angel! There it is. Right there on the banner. But yet that be a symbol and a sign to us. That what God did was he sent Gabriel in order to tell Zechariah, guess what? The time is here. It's now time for this. And of course, you know that Zechariah should have let out a big yeehaw, right? No, that's not what happened. What he did was he stood back in fear. He didn't know what to think about it. So here's Zechariah. He was there. And by the way, does anybody know what Zechariah means? Let's see. Test. Anybody? Raise your hand. What's Zechariah mean? Huh? Boom. Sherry got it. Give her a gold star. You got a gold star? You got a gold star somewhere? We can give her a gold star. But the thing about it is, it means God remembers. You see, that's exactly the message that God wanted to use Zechariah for. Isn't it amazing how God uses those type of things? Ordinary things, just like a name, just simply to show and to remind people of what His love is all about. And so that's what He did. Is He used Zechariah, this man whose name means God remembers, to start this road, this journey that would lead to the Savior coming on Christmas morning. And so he tells the angel, he says, you're going to bear a son. You're going to bear a son. And you're going to name him John. Well, we know how Zechariah kind of thought about this. You know, like, right. Tell me another thing, Gabriel. You know, stop pulling my chain here. And the angel Gabriel looks at him and he says, because of your unbelief, you are going to be silent. And you can imagine what that would do to Zechariah, right? After all, he makes his living the same way I do. If I can't talk, you guys are in trouble. Can you imagine what that would be? You know, that's why it was so important that we get the microphones working tonight. Because if I can't talk, and then you can't hear, it's going to be kind of... Right? Nobody has an idea what I said. But that's... Yeehaw! Right, that's it. Yeehaw! Is that because I wasn't able to speak or what? But yet, when we look at it, though, it was one of those things. That's how he made his living, by simply doing the work every day, doing that work that God would have him do. Sure, sometimes it's glamorous stuff to get up and talk in front of people and to be able to jump up and down and to be able to say yeehaw and all those kind of things to get people motivated to pick on people like this guy sitting right here or that guy that was trying to run from me earlier. Told you I'd find you. But the thing about it is, though, is when we look at all of this stuff, we really look at what's happening here. And what God did was He told him of a great gift. And the thing about it was that even though he couldn't talk, and it was in his silence, that people were able to see God at work. Because did you catch what happened when he went out? Did you catch what happened when he went out to the people? They said they knew that he saw a vision. They knew that something important was happening. And so that was that thing that happened that really kind of sparked the whole thing, preparing the way of Jesus. And we all know the baby that was a result. And the promise to him of this child that he was going to have, who he's to name John. It was going to be the one who prepares the way. And by the way, they would have known what that meant. To prepare the way of him. Because Isaiah himself said, told and prophesied that there was going to be this one who was going to be great and known and come forward. And he was going to be of the line of Aaron. And he was going to come out and he was going to prepare the way for someone who was greater than him. Someone who would have the Holy Spirit that would leap in the womb. And that's him. That was John. And we know what happened with John. He went out, and he went out into the desert, and he baptized, and he told people, and he proclaimed the message of Jesus. And in fact, what he did was he brought the most important thing for us today. Is he set it up so that he could prepare our hearts, the hearts of Israel, to see what holy baptism was and what it means. For it was John that baptized people out in the desert, and it was John who baptized Jesus, where Jesus took that institution of holy baptism and claimed people of Israel as his. In fact, if we understand what Saint John tells us later about it, this was the whole purpose of this was, is that right there it would give us the privilege of becoming what? Gotcha. But children of God. You see, that's really what this is about. This one that come from a barren lady, showing the miracle of God being able to continue to create. A creator that loves his creation, that he still continues to create to this day. And to realize that each of you are part of that creation. Each of you were specially made. And each of you were called by the Holy Spirit to be holy in his sight. So that you could proudly be called today children of God. And you see, that's where we go out into this same world. The problem is that sometimes, guess what? We're like Zechariah, aren't we? Sometimes we don't always believe. Sometimes we question and we doubt. Sometimes we act as if there's no hope, don't we? We act like we're still wandering out there. And we too seem to be silent sometimes. But that's what this season of Advent helps us to do. Is first of all, realize that the promise of hope was a promise made from the very beginning of time. The promise of hope is one in which God brings to his people, and not only to his people, but to the whole world. You see, this message of hope is not just simply for us, but it's for everyone out there. He gives everyone the opportunity. And that's important for us to know. But it's important to us for two reasons. Number one, so that we, out of our excitement, yee-haw, come on, yee-haw, the excitement of who we are, that we want to tell everybody in the world, number one. But number two, so that we can also live in that same hope of knowing. And no matter how bad it gets out there, no matter how hopeless it is out there, that we have hope. And it's not just simply a kind of I wish kind of hope, but it's a hope, a certain hope, to know that the promises of Jesus are real. The promises of Jesus are ours. The promises of Jesus belong to me, and it belongs to this guy too. That's ours. And we claim it. It's ours. And that's what the hope of Christmas is about. So as we go down this journey, as we continue to hear the words of Advent calling us to prepare, allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, because he's already there. That's the thing about it is for those who call themselves children of God, the Holy Spirit is already in your heart. He already lives and dwells within you. The problem is that we've got to stop keeping him silent. What we need to do is realize what he's done for us and then go out into the world and proclaim it. Let those lips open up. For we have seen the salvation of God. For we have seen what Christ has done. For we have seen and continue to see when we look to the babe of Bethlehem, our salvation. Let it flow. Let the world see it in you, just as Lazarus, when John was born, his lips opened and he spoke the praises of God. Let that too be our joy. Let that be our pride. For in us, we know with all certainty, and we have all hope in Jesus Christ, because we are
children of God.
In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord, the Creator who loves us. so much that he came as a child in Bethlehem to take away our sins and make us his. Amen.